And we're back on the Refs Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7, listentotheref.com, and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers hotline from Indiana Sports Beat. Jim Coyle is here on WREF. Hey, Jim, really appreciate your time. How are we doing?
Doing fine, man. Always a pleasure, Brad. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Well, we're talking about IU basketball. We're talking about IU football. Wouldn't have anyone else, and yet still, both teams undefeated. The basketball team getting ready to play Minnesota tomorrow. The football team getting ready to play a game that, well, let's call it what it is, bigger than the basketball game that we're getting ready for. It's the Big Ten title game, so a lot to get to. First and foremost, how do we feel about where the football team is at? I'd imagine nothing but positive after their first undefeated regular season in program history. They just decapitated Purdue over the weekend.
Well, not that wasn't expected, unfortunately, for Purdue. They're just not in a great position right now. But congratulations to Indiana, to Kurt Cignetti, to Scott Dolson, to everyone that has done what they've done with that program, which is absolutely remarkably crazy. 12-0, are you kidding me? One of two teams in all of college football to do that this year. I asked Kurt Cignetti about that in a presser over the weekend after the game, and you know, he talked about there's only been a few teams in the last 25 years to be able to do that, and you can now add Indiana to that list. So they're very proud of that, but they're gonna hold on to that for 24 hours and they move on, because there's a 13th game to be played.
And there sure is, and hopefully there's a 14th and a 15th and so on and so forth. This team is just something else, and obviously they have what it takes to win it all. If they don't, I don't know who does. I guess the only other team that comes to mind is Ohio State, the number one team in the nation, whereas Indiana is number two. Before we talk about the Big Ten title game, and we will, in talking about this Purdue game, and again, obviously a game that Indiana was going to win the entire time, a game that they probably took their feet off the gas a little bit offensively. Mendoza only threw the ball a handful of times, completed 8 passes for less than 200 yards. But Elijah Surratt back in the fold. What do you think of what he did coming off that injured list and getting back onto the field?
Yeah, always good to get those guys back. Drew Evans probably could have played, but getting those guys back before the Big Ten championship is always great. And I wondered if we'd see Drew Evans or not, but no, they're going to hold him. I think they're just going to wait and get back inside and indoors. And that's something else I'm thinking about with this team. I'm like, man, they get inside and get indoors on that carpet. This could just be a magical game. But, yeah, it was a great big win for Indiana, way to finish it off. You know, they've beaten Purdue 122-3 over the last two seasons. So, Purdue, just like I said, not in a good place. And it'll be hard for them to climb out of this hole on the football side. I'm going to be honest with you, because it's not that easy to do. There's not a bunch of Kurt Cignetti there, but as you've seen, then this coaching carousel, this cycle, man, they've been going all over the place. And who is the next Cignetti? Maybe it's James Madison's old coach who just was hired as UCLA's next coach. Now, how about JMU pumping him out there, man? He did a remarkable job, because if you think about it, when Sig left, he brought, you know, the coaches with him, brought the core of the players with him. So they started over there. So, man, that's a remarkable job. Not that that's what you asked me about, but it's just so much going on right now in college football, and so much fun. You know, those games that all happened over the weekend in the SEC that all have a bearing on what's going on, and the college football poll that comes out tonight that we're looking forward to, and not that I expect much change at the top, but there's going to be change, man. Is Texas Tech going to slide up into that fourth spot ultimately? We'll see. But Oregon, man, they're trying to sneak up there too, Brad. There's so much going on, man. There's so much to talk about.
Now, there sure is, and again, I'm just happy that we're talking about a team that's worth talking about this time of year. Indiana football, they finish their undefeated regular season by decapitating Purdue 56-3 last weekend. And get ready for the Big Ten title game. Jim Coyle is here to talk about it on WREF. You can hear Jim every single weekday from 1 to 3 on 97.7 FM on Indiana Sports Radio. You know, and Jim, talking about this team, obviously the only worthwhile question for me to ask you really would be about Ohio State. How should IU fans feel about this matchup, really only the second time all year that IU is an underdog, the first time being Oregon, and, well, they won that game. So how do you feel about this matchup?
Well, obviously, the champion, defending champion, undefeated as the favorite, as they should be. But I think that hopefully this is going to be the close game that it seems like it's going to be. Statistically, if we look, everyone has talked about how great Ohio State's defense is. But I'm like, dude, look at the stats. Indiana's right there, if not exactly equal to so many areas. So offensively, this is going to be a standout game. Then, of course, on the other side of the ball, both teams so skilled. Quarterbacks, Julian Sain leads the nation in completion percentage. Fernando Mendoza leads the country in touchdown passes. We've got wide receivers that are going to be playing in the NFL next year. So it's just going to be a spectacular game, I think. I certainly hope. I don't want to build it up and then it, you know, lay an egg, but man, wouldn't it be great? Because if it is as good a game as we're hoping that it will be, I don't know that either team drops past the two seed, Brad, the even the loser, if this game is what I think it could be.
That would really be incredible, and in a way, that would really be right. That's the thing that ought to happen because of what these teams have done so far this year. Both of them deserve a top seeding in the nation, at least in my opinion. IU, Ohio State, Saturday, the Big Ten title game on the line, or rather the Big Ten championship on the line in the Big Ten title game. And you mentioned Sain and Mendoza as the Heisman candidates. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, guys like you and me, Jim, we know that it's not every year that the Heisman Trophy winner is actually the best player in the nation. Sometimes it's political. Sometimes it just comes down to who's on the better team. Who do you really believe in this game, in the Big Ten title game, has the edge at quarterback?
The winner? I do think that I think the Heisman Trophy winner is going to come out of this game. And it's going to be Julian Sain or Fernando Mendoza, obviously. I don't know that Fernando has to win the game to win the Heisman, but I do know he's got to play pretty damn well, and he's got to give Indiana a chance to win. Losing the game, I don't know what that will do in Heisman voters' minds, because the ballots will be due right after that, and so that's what they'll be waiting for. They're waiting for that game. They're not waiting for anybody else. Love from Notre Dame, he's not playing. Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt, he's not playing. Two guys are playing, and it's Fernando Mendoza and Julian Sain. That who is going to win, that's who's going to win the Heisman. One of these two, and it's going to come down to this game. Like I said, I don't know that you have to win it, but daggone it, you got to play well.
Yeah, you sure do, and we know, you know, you look at these two teams, Ohio State and Indiana, and I feel like it was before the Oregon game, I was asking you, hey, who's got the advantage at quarterback, Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza? We said Mendoza. Who's got the advantage at head coach? We said Kurt Cignetti over their coach, and obviously Dan Lanning's one of the best coaches in the nation. Same goes for Ryan Day, but who knows? Maybe Ryan Day pulls a Lane Kiffin, and he takes a job in the NFL, and all of a sudden Ohio State's without a coach.
That ain't happening.
No? Why not?
Yeah, no, that's not happening. There will be no more drama like that, not with the top 10 team that I can imagine coming. But, and you know what? It's funny. Everybody's kind of giving him grief, and I'm like, you know, this is not his fault. It's one of the few times I agree with Nick Saban. This is not a Lane Kiffin problem. This is a college football problem. Yeah. It's college football's problem that the season it doesn't end, that he can't end the season before that they have to do this. But it's because of when the portal opens on January 2nd, and they need to have the coach in place for recruiting purposes at all. And that's the problem. So until they fix that, they cannot fix this. And you can't blame it. If this was another business, in any other business in the world, and somebody had a chance to leave, you know, timing be damned. It's, hey, sorry, but this is the opportunity, and this is when it's here. So I don't blame him.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but I'm still a little bit peeved, just as a sports fan, that this guy is passing up on the opportunity to win a national championship. But you know what? Ole Miss's loss, potentially IU's gain, make the field a little bit cleaner for the Hoosiers, their path to a national championship, which, of course, run through the Big Ten title game at Lucas Oil this Saturday. Indiana football trying to complete their undefeated run against Big Ten teams after being undefeated in the regular season, going toe-to-toe with Ohio State, number one versus number two on Saturday. You'll hear it on WREF. Hey, Jim, getting ready for the basketball game tomorrow. Hoosier basketball still undefeated after a really impressive win against Kansas State. And Bethune-Cookman, well, we knew that was going to be a win as well from this past weekend. How do you feel about the basketball team and their Big Ten opener right around the corner?
Well, not only a Big Ten opener tomorrow night, but then you've got Louisville coming up this weekend. So they're going to be tested thoroughly this week. On the road at Minnesota in the barn, yeah, that's not where you want to open a Big Ten play. Probably 12 degrees. They might open the windows maybe, you know, give them a good Minnesota welcome. So that's a rough place to play, period. And none of these guys have been there. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'd have to sit back and make sure no one played in the Big Ten last year, but pretty sure that none of them did. So they have never been in this situation. And that's another thing. They haven't been in any of these situations that they're going to be experiencing in the Big Ten. They've all played road games and whatnot, but it's all going to be a different environment. And then you stick your toe into a conference play and then back out into non-conference play. So it's going to be interesting, though, to see what start they can get with a road game, how the road crowd affects them, and how well they can do.
Again, Jim Coyle here on WREF, the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lloyd Expressway, an Evansville tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. The Hoosiers coming off of a win over the weekend, 100-56 against Bethune-Cookman, a game that we knew IU was going to win, but then they stay undefeated. That's still a good thing regardless of who they played. They're 7-0. And, you know, the starting five, they played pretty well. It was the bench, Sam Alexis and Trent Sisley, each going for 14 points. Not that we need to choose between the two, because clearly Coach DeVries has a lot of faith in both of them. But who do you have more scoring faith in, Sisley or Alexis? Because on any given night, the six-man scorer could be either one of them.
Yeah, it's hard to pick one of those guys. You know, if gunned ahead, I'd go with Alexis only because of experience, but not because Trent hasn't done the same. He has. So you can count on him just the same. But like I said, if your experience usually plays a part, and hopefully that experience is going to show itself more and more as the season goes on, and Trent is going to continue to learn more and more as the season goes on, because those guys are going to be needed. They have got to grab boards. They have got to get as active as possible in on rebounds, not give up all those offensive rebounds like we've seen in certain games. They did a great job the other night, and we saw the results of that. So when they do good things will happen. But to answer your question, both of those guys are going to be counted on off the bench right now, and both of them have performed, and that's something very valuable.
You know, and talking about the bench right now and how both Alexis and Sisley have performed, haven't seen much out of Dorn. Now, Nick Noren had some injury concerns a few weeks ago, came back, slow start to his year. I know he missed the season opener at least. Now, he goes for 14 points, season high for him. And the junior, coming off that injury, feel like he could be a really valuable piece for this team. What can Nick Dorn be for his role forward heading into Big Ten play for tomorrow?
Well, you just said it right there. I mean, man, he's a guy that can kind of go off. And hopefully those happen more frequently as he gets more acclimated into the season with missing that time with the injury. So he's got to make up for that time. But maybe he can hopefully speed up, like being on a plane. You can make up for that time in the air, hopefully. But in all seriousness, but as he goes through the season, hopefully, man, it just picks up like a snowball going downhill, because if you can have 14 point nights like that off the bench, man, that is going to be of uber helpful to this team when Sam Alexis and Sisley and those kind of guys coming off the bench as well. Then you get more and more depth, and they've got more guys coming back that are injured right now. So if they can continue to add to that depth, that's what this team's going to need as they continue to get into Big Ten play later on.
No, they certainly will. And again, like you said, Big Ten play right around the corner tomorrow night. You'll hear it on WREF, well, with the game against Minnesota and IU. After that, a brief interruption from Big Ten play, and they have the non-conference slate continuing with Louisville and Kentucky. So with all that in mind, the Big Ten title game for the football team around the corner this upcoming weekend, Jim, I'll ask you the same question I've been asking you, just an updated answer. Who's going to lose first, the basketball team or the football, who may never lose, by the way?
That's a good question. And the basketball team's got shots at it this week. So I'm going to go basketball team, since okay, they play twice first.
You know what? Playing the odds. I like it. And no one can get mad at you if you have numbers to back up your answer. That's Jim Coyle, Indiana Sports Beat 1-3 every single weekday right here on WREF. Remember, tomorrow night the basketball team plays for IU, the football team on Saturday with the Big Ten Championship on the line. Jim Coyle knows everything there is to know about IU athletics, and he is a busy man this time of year. The crossover season is Christmas season for Jim Coyle. Thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate the time.
Always happy holidays to everybody.
Right back at you. With that, we take a step aside. Don't go anywhere. And listen to Colin, driven by D. Patrick Nissan, 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app.